Live from Southern California, this is the Jim Rome Show.
It's not TV'd. It's not tape delayed. It's live. It's in Cali. I'm Jim Rome. No cap. Way to go, Alvy. That's what I'm talking about. Welcome to the Thursday edition of the program. I am Jim Rome. I am live. This is the Jim Rome Show. It's all true. It's all true. We're going live. We'll do it live. Every day we go live. We do it live. Jim Rome Show on the Infinity Sports. What you see is what you get. Oh, you don't see anything yet. You will soon. You will soon. We are getting very close to our X launch. In fact, more and more people are blowing me up. When, Rome? When? Soon. Very, very soon. All right, nice to have you here. Good, good show for you. Listen, right off the very top, I know on Thursdays you like to know, when are we beefing? I don't like to move the beef segment. Sometimes we have to move the beef segment. So we are moving the beef segment today to hour number two, which means you got to kind of gear yourself up for that. You don't have until the third hour. You got to start getting right now. Beef segment, top of hour number two. If you're somehow new to it, you get to call in once a week during beef segment and essentially beef about anything you want, sports or non-sports, almost anything you want except the JN. If you don't know what the JN is, I'm not going to tell you what it is. I'm trying to keep that away from as many people as possible. Those who know not to do it. Also, no toilet humor. Other than that, beef about anything you want. If you've got a beef, I'm here for it. That's coming up. Top of hour number two. What's your beef? It's once a week. It's a great segment. 1-800-636-8686. Of course, there are three ways to beef. On the phones, on the X platform, at Jim Rome. You can also email me at beef, Rome, R-O-M-E, at habitate.com. So start working it right now. Start getting in line on the phones. Start hitting us up on X. I want Tommy to have a few things that he can accumulate and aggregate. And we'll have that for you at the top of the second hour. Coming up at 9:40, Chris Mannix joins us. We talk NBA. Coming up in hour number three, the reason we're not beefing in hour number three, we have a good guest, Raiders GM Tom Telesco. In fact, I've not spoken to him since he got that gig. Thank you, Alvy. Hey, guys, are we going to be allowed to use the autumn wind? Good question, right? So I've been hinting at what may or may not go away when we go to X. We had a big, big, big sit-down yesterday talking music. The winds of change. Or maybe not. Maybe not.
Can you help?
Hey, Raider Mike, what up, dude? Long time. All right, so this is what we're looking at. Once again, telephone number is 1-800-636-8686. When I pushed you hard yesterday, you did a good job of getting up in here and getting it done. So why don't you try and stack that day and run it back and do it again? If you know what you want to talk about, go ahead. Let's get right into it. Run it back! Let me start with the association, obviously. And let me ask a question. What in the name of Willis Reed happened at MSG last night? Other than a, wait for it, good word coming. Brian Weber would respect this word. Brian Weber probably made this word up. He's probably the originator of this word. Other than a redux, it's a good word. That's a 5-point word right there. I'm answering the question. What in the name of Willis Reed happened at Madison Square Garden last night other than a redux of the most iconic moment in the history of the New York Knickerbockers? 54 years to the day that Willis Reed came hobbling out of that same MSG tunnel, Jalen Brunson hobbled out for the second half and then dropped a sledgehammer on the Pacers. Enjoy it while you can. Or maybe you can still enjoy it. Brunson hobbled out, and there was some doubt whether or not he would, yet comes out erases a double-digit deficit, drops 24, and essentially snatched Pacers' souls right out of their bodies. What a night for the Knicks. Man, Knicks fan is feeling themselves. Knicks fan, always feeling themselves. Knicks fan is always unhinged. But right now, they're on a whole other level. And they should be. Because for once, the Knicks actually embody the toughness and the grit of their fans and their city. Yes, I said it. For once, the team is as tough as their fans. As gnarly as their fans. Instead of embodying the major loser vibes coming off their major loser owner. Wash away my troubles. Are we allowed to play that? Do we have to pay for that too? No, instead of being the basketball version of that, they're being the basketball version of those nut jobs on 7th Avenue. It's good. It's great. Now, having said all that, admit it, Knicks fan, for a second night, or for a second last night, y'all had to hit the pause on the whole go New York, go New York, go. Admit it, Knicks fan, when Brunson went down, it was suddenly no New York, no New York, no.
No,
no, no. For a second there, it was like, uh-oh, New York, uh-oh. Uh-oh, New York, uh-oh. You see, once again, the Pacers had themselves an opening. Once again, Indy had a great look at ripping the home court. Alvin, you're on fire, dude. I love it, too. Oh, boy. Indy had a look at ripping the home court in that series. Again, they had a 10-point lead at halftime. They had a banged-up Brunson. OG Anunoby went down midway through the third. Mitchell Robinson's already gone. That's three of the Knicks' most critical pieces in their already very small rotation. Like I said, golden opportunity for the Pacers. And another golden opportunity completely squandered. For the second game in a row, Indiana had both their hands around Knickerbocker throats, and for the second game in a row, my dude simply did not squeeze hard enough. And you know I'm all about this Pacer team, which is why I have to tell it like it is. Pacer fan, you did not finish. And no, it is not the ref's fault. Listen, we're all frustrated with the ref show. Nobody is saying they're perfect. Nobody is saying they're even close to perfect. Nobody's even saying they're good.
Nobody!
The league itself admitted a whole pile of mistakes in game one. It's not exactly a secret that the ref show is still the worst show. But the ref show is not why the Pacers lost game one, and it sure as hell is not why they lost last night. So please, Pacer fan, as much as I love you, miss me with those tears.
Please.
Keep the puddle of tears so many of you are sobbing and weeping into this morning. Keep them to yourselves. I do not want your salty eye water anywhere near me. Stop turning this into a saltwater pool. I'm not doing laps in it.
Bench the salt.
Alvy, I mean, dude, you're unstoppable today. You're like the Jalen Brunson of engineers. No, he's like the Alvin DeLauro of ballers.
Well, Alvin's incredible. He deserves an incredible amount of praise.
That's Steve Nash. Anyway, Pacer Nation, I mean, is this really the way you're going to rally yourself or your team? By whining and crying about the ref show? The Pacers actually have now submitted 78 plays from the first two games to the NBA claiming that they were called incorrectly. 78 plays. How do you even have time to get ready for the next matchup if you're breaking tape and counting missed calls? And 78?
A million.
Why not a million? As long as you have 78, why not a million?
A million.
Hey, ears. Here are examples of 1 million missed calls by the ref show. 78. Where'd they come up with that number? 29 from game one, 49 from last night's game. I mean, guys, seriously, 49 missed calls in the game last night. There's only 48 minutes in a game. Are you telling me that the ref show blew more than a call a minute? Really? Let's talk O'Reilly Auto Parts. They're in the business of keeping your car on the road. O'Reilly Auto Parts offer friendly, helpful service and the parts knowledge you need for all your maintenance and repairs. They've got thousands of parts and accessories in stock, either in-store or online, so you never have to worry if you're in a jam. The team at O'Reilly Auto Parts can test your battery for free in or out of your car. If it needs to be replaced, they'll help you find just the right battery for your vehicle. Need your windshield wipers replaced? A brake light fix or a quick service, they'll help you find the right part or point you to the nearest local repair shop for help. Whether you're a car aficionado or an auto novice, you will find the employees at O'Reilly Auto Parts are extremely knowledgeable, helpful, and best of all, they are friendly. The professional parts people at O'Reilly Auto Parts are your one-stop shop for all things auto, do-it-yourself, and you can find what you need in-store or online. Stop by O'Reilly Auto Parts today or visit us at O'ReillyAuto.com/Rome. Once again, O'ReillyAuto.com/Rome. The Pacers right now are that guy on the pickup court who ruins the entire run because he thinks there's a foul on every single play. The Pacers are just out here calling fouls and trying to recheck the ball on every single possession. I mean, Alvin, is today your last day? Are you walking off on this? This is like a Hall of Fame open from you, Alvin. And so all of you at home listening, we don't plan this. This is just Alvin doing Alvin things, but at an extremely high level. Go ahead, Alvin. Bump that. You earned it. I don't even want to finish the open, man. It's about you, Alvin. This is the open now. The greatness of Alvin DeLauro. I'm audibilizing. I have more thoughts about the Pacers and Knicks, but they're not more important than Alvy. Go ahead, Alvy. Never mind that it was one of the greatest nights in franchise history. Alvy's upstaging it by doing Alvy things. He's Alvy.
Thank you.
More. Hey, dude, don't tell me we can't play that. I don't care what that costs. They call him Alvy. Manic Bloom will allow that, right? God, what a track. His name is Alvy. Manic Bloom. Y'all are not getting nearly enough credit. Give me some more, Alvy. I need it. And you earned it. Dude, that is so tight. That is such a banger. That is absolutely incredible. Anyway, so the Pacers are just out here calling fouls. They're trying to recheck the ball in every single possession. I mean, my dudes, that's not the way. It's lame. It's weak. This is not your way back into this series. Like, if there was some kind of chip on your shoulder that you had to gain from this alleged officiating crisis, or that you've been singled out because ears doesn't want you to win, or you're a small market, man, that chip, if you have one, should have already come into play. If you really are this upset that the refs are tilting this series against you, maybe you should have taken that out on the Knicks last night instead of letting the Knicks take you to the woodshed in the second half and rip your lead away and rip that game right out of your hands because it was right there for you. 78 missed calls. That number, 78 in the series. I mean, come on with that.
Come on.
Come on. I love you, Pacers. But that is a ridiculous number.
Kind of ridiculous.
78. We all know the ref show is terrible. But nobody actually thinks they're that terrible. And again, whining about it and reporting it to the league is not the kind of energy that's going to get you back into this series. It might get you a call or two when you get home, but it's not going to get you back in the series. That's just not alpha energy. There's plenty of alpha energy in this series. Don't get that twisted. It's just that it's coming from the Bockers. The alpha energy is coming from Jalen Willis Reed Brunson. It's coming from Dante Big D Vincenzo.
Let's go, Dante D Vincenzo, the Italian.
You know, I'm about to get cheesy with it, but I can't forget Josh Steal My Heart. Why did I say that? Because Josh stole my heart last night with one of the coldest live broadcast interaction moments ever. You know the one where Josh Hart body bagged the arch nemesis of the Knicks franchise on live TV. To set it up, the end of that game. Garden crowd went garden crowd, as only the garden crowd could and can. They started a chant. Now, listen very closely. I'm not sure if you can make out exactly what they're saying. Listen closely. It's kind of hard to decipher. It's a little bit inaudible. But here's what it sounded like on the broadcast after the game was in hand and they reset their sights on somebody else, the guy they hate most in that building.
17. Yeah, there's no question. Look, no game ever with this New York Knicks team.
In this building. Game. In this building especially.
Brunson misses both.
There's got to go quick here.
I like the way they just kind of ignore the whole thing. I don't know what I like better. Like 18,000 people in unison targeting the guy they hate most, Reggie Miller, and chanting, F you, Reggie.
Yeah, there's no question.
F you, Reggie. This isn't a few guys heckling him behind the table. This is the entire arena in unison. F you, Reggie. The only thing more incredible than that, if you were able to make out what they were chanting. The only thing more amazing than that is that Josh Hart wanted to make sure that Reggie Miller actually did hear it, as if there was any chance he couldn't have heard it. Just to be sure. Just to be sure. Josh Hart really wanted to do Reggie a solid and let him know what the entire crowd was chanting. You know, just in case it wasn't making its way through his headset. So Josh Hart goes over to the broadcast table in between free throws with 22 seconds left in the game, leaned into Reggie and did this.
For 34, just winners. What do you think Jay Wright is saying? Yeah. Right? He's my boys.
I think that's a f***
you. Uh-oh.
Did you hear that? He came over to the broadcast table and said, quote, he said this to Reggie, quote, I don't know if you heard, but I think they said F you.
Yeah. Right? It was my voice.
I think they said F you.
Uh-oh.
Uh-oh.
And then Reggie, taking off his headphone to lean in because he thought Josh Hart was going to say something to him. If he had known what was coming, I don't think he would have done that. He's like leaning into it. Yo, what up, dog? Quote, I don't know if you heard, but I think they said F you.
I think they said F you.
Uh-oh.
You want to talk about stone cold. You want to talk about straight up ionic.
Ionic.
Thing is, Josh Hart could have just as easily turned around, looked at the Pacers bench, and gone with the choking signal like Reggie did back in the day. Because that's a lot closer to what happened than the ref show robbing that one from the Pacers. And Indy, you know that brings me no pleasure at all to have to say that. Indy, you know I would tell you if I thought you got jammed by the refs. You did not get jammed by the refs. You just didn't finish. You just didn't capitalize on a golden opportunity. And it's the second game in a row that that's happened. That's all. That's what that is. Now, here is the good news. Notice what I'm not saying. I'm not saying you're not coming back. I'm not saying you blew it and you're not going to beat these guys 4 out of 5 times. You might. You might. You're still in this. They won two games at home. They did hold serve. And the Pacers get to go home to their amazing fans, and that should give them a boost. And clearly, the Pacers are right there with the Knicks. They could have won either or both those games. And right now, the Knicks are a beat-up, run-down team. There could be a winnable war of attrition here, Pacers. It's just going to take a lot more toughness and a lot more grit and a lot more finishing than you've shown so far. It's going to take a lot more than whining about the refs and producing 78 missed calls. It's going to take a lot more than saying the ref show is jamming us every minute of every game. I am so pumped to tell you all about Moink. That's Moo plus Oink. Moink is a meat subscription box company on a mission to fight for the family farm. They are located in rural America, run by an eighth generation female farmer. Their animals are raised humanely, their employees are paid a living wage, and the quality of their product is better than anything you'll find in a store. Moink delivers grass-fed and grass-finished beef and lamb, pastured pork and chicken, and sustainable wild-caught Alaskan salmon straight to your door. Moink farmers farm like our grandparents did, and as a result, Moink meat tastes like it should because the family farm does it better, and the Moink difference is a difference that you can taste. Unlike the supermarket, Moink gives you total control over the quality and source of your food. You choose the meat delivered in every box. Choose between ribeyes to chicken breasts to pork chops to salmon fillets and much more. Plus, you can cancel anytime. Shark Tank host Kevin O'Leary called Moink's bacon the best bacon he's ever tasted. Ring Doorbell founder Jamie Siminoff jumped at the chance to invest in Moink. Keep America farming going by signing up at moinkbox.com/Rome. Moinkbox.com/Rome. When you do that, get free bacon for a year. Free bacon for a year. That website, once again, is moinkbox.com/Rome. When you do, that's 1 year of the best bacon you will ever taste, but for a limited time. moinkbox.com/Rome. That's moinkbox.com/Rome. Great talking to you, Chris Mannix. They lost OG Anunoby to a hamstring injury. Jalen Brunson was limited after tweaking his foot in the first quarter. How much, Chris, of a missed opportunity was that for Indy to rip the home court, given how busted up the Knicks are and were?
Yeah, I think it was a big missed opportunity. Look, double-digit leads in today's NBA don't mean a heck of a lot, especially with the number of three-point shots that are tossed up every game. But to lead by 10 coming out of the locker room at halftime and then go into the fourth quarter down 8 points, I mean, that was the ball game really right there. And look, strategically, you know, I think Rick Carlisle is going to look back at the second half of this game and wonder why he pulled T.J. McConnell from it. I mean, I thought T.J. McConnell was doing a credible job defending Jalen Brunson, who got his rhythm going in that second half. But McConnell was pesky. He was physical. He was making Brunson work. And then, you know, 5-6 minutes to go in the fourth quarter, McConnell's just gone. And you know, I thought that was a strategic mistake by a coach that's a really very good one in today's NBA. So for those reasons, you know, plus Tyrese Haliburton played great. I mean, he had 6 points in game one and, you know, 30 plus in game two. I mean, there's just so many reasons the Pacers should have come out of this game with a win. And now they go back home, you know, down 2-0.
Agreed. Chris Mannix joining us. So let me jump to the Celtics because you know them as well as anybody. While they did hammer Cleveland in game one, much of the talk, of course, surrounded the play of Jason Tatum, who struggled again going 0-for-5 beyond the arc. He finished with 18 points. I mean, what do you think about the current state of his game? Is this much ado about nothing, or is there a legitimate cause for concern?
Well, look, the numbers for Jason Tatum in clutch time minutes this season are not great. I think he's shooting something like 36% from the floor, 33% from three-point range. So the numbers, look, they don't lie in these particular situations. I think part of the problem is the Celtics haven't been in many of those type of situations during the year. Look, they had the largest margin of victory in the NBA. It was near historic levels. And, you know, when you're blowing teams out, you don't need to be clutch in late game moments. But look, if you follow the Celtics, and I've watched every one of their games, but not a lot of their games, you know, those end of game situations can get a little bit dicey. Sometimes they look great when the ball's flowing through Tatum in the low post, or they're moving it around and everybody's getting shots. But sometimes it stagnates, and you know, they kind of rely on too much isolation ball at the end of these games. So if you are looking to kind of poke holes in the Celtics right now, it, you know, getting a bucket at the end of a game, Tatum's ability to be the kind of closer that we've seen Anthony Edwards be this postseason, that we've seen Steph Curry be in years past, that's certainly one potential vulnerability that they have.
We're talking to Chris Mannix. Chris, the Joker won his third MVP award. Last night on TNT's program, Shaq congratulated him on that award and then told him to his face that he thought that Shai Gilgeous-Alexander should have won the award, not Jokic. I mean, you have a vote, right? Who were your top three?
I voted for Shai as my number one. I said to myself down the stretch, because I thought Shai and Jokic were really close, that if Oklahoma City wound up in the number one seed, I was going to vote for Shai. And look, they did it by, what, tiebreaker, basically. Like, it was even up in the standings between Denver and Oklahoma City, but they finished number one. I think being the unquestioned leader of the number one team in the toughest conference in basketball, especially with the kind of roster he had around him being so young and where the Thunder were last year, which is out of the playoffs, I think that warranted Shai getting my vote. Also, I think Shai was or is a better two-way player than Jokic and Luka Doncic, who was third on my MVP ballot. So I voted for Shai. I don't begrudge people that voted for Jokic. There's plenty of reasons to go and do that. But look, I value defense, you know, maybe more than others did when it came to the MVP vote. And again, like, I think winning matters. And yes, Denver won at almost the exact same level of Oklahoma City, but the Thunder are the number one seed. And, you know, that, you know, kind of swung a little bit towards Shai's way on my ballot.
Clones, what do we want when we're craving protein or we need more energy? Not bars, not sugary snacks, not energy drinks. No, we want beef. Pure and simple. So where's the beef? It's in a package of Old Trapper beef jerky. Old Trapper is not your father's jerky. Shriveled, dry, and tasteless. Old Trapper beef jerky is made from lean strips of steak and quality spices that are smoked over a real wood fire. So it's tender and it's tasty. It's not tough. And why is it so good? Because Old Trapper is a 50-year-old family business known for their relentless commitment to quality. They take smoked beef extremely seriously, and you can taste it in every single bite. Old Trapper is packed with protein, and it comes in four amazing flavors that satisfy all your cravings. Quality smoked meat at its finest that goes with you wherever you go, to the game, to the gym, to the beach. Look for Old Trapper in the Clearview bag. That way you can see the quality you're buying. Look for it in major retail stores near you. If you don't see it, ask for it by name, because no other jerky compares. Old Trapper, what's your beef? Chris Mannix joining us. Chris, I'm still a big boxing guy, so I want to take advantage of having you on the program right now. I'm going to hit you with a nice, short question. Here it is. Ryan Garcia, reaction. I mean, dude, the hell do we do with this dude? What are we supposed to do with this guy? Where do you even start?
I think, for starters, you've got to see the process play out here. I mean, Ryan Garcia tested positive for a banned substance. Ostarine is not a substance that, to my knowledge, you can get in your system unless you are acquiring it illegally. It's not, to my knowledge, in supplements that are out there purchasable, you know, over the counter or through whatever GNC kind of thing. So the big thing for Ryan Garcia, and I've talked to people around him in the last couple of weeks extensively, the big thing for him is over the next weeks and months to find a plausible explanation for all this. Look, Canelo Alvarez back in 2018 tested positive for clenbuterol, and he was able to kind of skate on that in the public eye because clenbuterol is something that is found in meat in Mexico. So there were other athletes that tested positive for that. So people said, all right, well, that's at least plausible. You got a situation with Conor Benn over in the UK blaming contaminated eggs for his positive test for clomiphene. A lot of people don't believe it, but it at the very least is a plausible explanation. Ryan Garcia has to come up with a plausible explanation. Just blaming Victor Conti isn't going to do it. Nobody in media has been more critical of Victor Conti than I have in the boxing space. I don't think Victor Conti or Memo Heredia or any of these former PED dealers or people involved with banned substances should be involved in the sport. But saying Victor Conti rigged the test just doesn't fly. That's not going to work for Ryan Garcia. So he has to come up, Jim, with a plausible explanation, or else he's going to be, I think, in a world of trouble.
Chris Mannix joining us. All right, so one more thing. You come to find out that Jake Paul and Mike Tyson is not going to be deemed an exhibition, but rather like an actually sanctioned fight. Like, where do you come out on this? I mean, what is it, Chris? Is it a fight? Is it just content? Are you interested? Are you going? How are you going to treat it?
I mean, I'm interested. I'll be in New York on Monday at the first press conference for this, and I'm anxious to see kind of how it all plays out. I don't love the fact that it's a sanctioned bout. That, to me, is a little goofy. Mike Tyson's going to be 58 years old when he steps into the ring. There's going to be, I think, no greater age gap ever than there will be between Tyson and Jake Paul, you know, in a professional fight, a sanctioned fight, when those two guys face off. There's really no need for it to go on Mike Tyson's record. But look, I think it's going to be, I don't think it's going to be this all-action brawl. For starters, they're wearing 14-ounce gloves, which, for context, those are basically sparring gloves. Those aren't the type of gloves you wear in a traditional fight. They're bigger, more padding, not the kind of gloves you'd wear if you were a big-time puncher in the heavyweight division. So I think it's going to be, you know, less thrilling than maybe some people are anticipating, but I think it will have some moments. I think early on, Tyson's probably going to go for it, try to land a big shot on the jaw of Jake Paul. My concern is, what happens in the third round and the fourth round when we remember that Mike Tyson is 58 years old going up against a guy 30 years his junior? So I think it's interesting to a degree, but I would temper expectations for people that think they're going to see a revival of the old Mike Tyson.
Yeah, I mean, Chris, like, I love Mike, but what I don't love is this possibility or notion of a 58-year-old man getting beaten down or beaten up. I mean, do you think Jake Paul would go in and actually try and do something like that?
No, look, because at his core, Jake Paul's an entertainer, right? Like, look, if Mike comes to try to take his head off, I don't think Jake's going to hold back on a counterpunch or try to land one big shot. But I don't think Jake Paul... Look, a comparison can be made to what happened with Evander Holyfield and Vitor Belfort. Remember that from a few years ago? Like, Vitor Belfort went out there to kill Evander Holyfield. Like, he was trying to hurt him, and ultimately he did, and could have done worse if that fight wasn't stopped. I don't believe Jake Paul's going to have the same mindset. Jake Paul wants to put on a show. Jake Paul wants to put, you know, butts in the seats and drive, you know, people to Netflix to watch this fight. But he's not going to go out there and try to decapitate Mike Tyson. There's no real upside for him in doing that. So I think Jake Paul's going to have a plan. I think he's going to make a show of it, but I don't think he's going to go out there and try to wipe the mat with Mike Tyson in the first round.
I agree. I don't think so either. He is a senior writer for Sports Illustrated, a Celtics analyst for NBC Sports Boston, co-host of the Crossover Podcast, and we covered a lot of ground. Chris, I really appreciate that. Thanks so much.
Anytime, Jim.
So I've got a quick question for you. Are you looking for ultimate comfort and pain relief? Let's compare G-Defy shoes to other shoe brands that promise comfort and support and pain relief. Typical shoe brands rely on EVA soles for cushioning, but G-Defy offers so much more. G-Defy goes above and beyond with VersoShock technology, providing superior shock absorption and energy return if you suffer from foot, knee, or back pain. G-Defy's advanced technology may help provide you with the relief you deserve. I can't even believe these shoes and the difference they make for me. G-Defy shoes also offer two free supportive orthotics to help improve your body's biomechanics, resulting in proper body alignment and ultimate comfort. Yes, they do all that. So whether you're an athlete, a busy parent, or just somebody who's always on the go, G-Defy shoes offers the versatility and the comfort that your feet crave and need. Say goodbye to discomfort. G-Defy is more than EVA soles. It could be your path to unparalleled comfort and pain relief. Visit G-Defy.com today. Experience ultimate comfort and pain relief at G-Defy.com. G-D-E-F-Y.com. Use the code JIM30 for $30 off orders of $150 or more. That's code JIM30 for $30 off orders of $150 or more. G-Defy shoes. They are incredible. He is Tom Telesco. Tom, it is great to have you on the show once again. How are things, Tom? What's going on?
Hey, Jim. Thanks for having me on again.
It's good to have you back. So it's our first conversation since you made that move within the division from the Chargers to the Raiders. And Tom, I get business is business, but what's it like going to work with an arch rival who you spent a chunk of your career trying to beat the hell out of?
It's interesting. I'm just really grateful to be here. You know, when I left the Chargers, you just never know what's going to happen with your career, where you're going to end up. And this is a funny league. And I was grateful to Mark Davis and everybody here to bring me in. And same division. Obviously, I know the division pretty well from just being in it the last 11 years. It's been fun over here. It's a great group of people. It's been refreshing for me to start something new with a new group of people, and really grateful to be here.
I can see that. Tom Telesco joining us. You know, you mentioned Mark Davis. It's interesting because Mark Davis said that not only did he appreciate the way that you had built the Chargers roster, but he liked you on a personal level as well. Like, how well did you know him before you interviewed for that job? And then what's it been like to work for him?
Well, I didn't know him particularly well. I would probably see him once or twice a year, or probably more. Well, a couple games a year, on pregame, which those conversations last, maybe 30 seconds. But at the league meetings, just the way the teams are laid out at the tables, the Raiders sit right next to the Chargers. So at least once a year when we're in the league meetings, I talk to him from time to time. I didn't know him particularly well, but it's been great being here. I mean, the history of the Raiders is just incredible. And when you walk down the hallways here, of all the pictures of the Hall of Famers, players and coaches, I mean, actually, it's a little intimidating. You walk out of the draft room, and there's a big picture of Ron Wolf and Al Davis. So there's a lot of pressure here as far as, what's been done here before. It's football first here, and that's the way Mark wants it. That's the way they've built it here. And, just the history of this place and the iconic franchise, the Raiders, and then their fan base, which is worldwide, in addition to Las Vegas. It's just been great to see.
We were talking to Tom Telesco. Tom, you touched on this briefly. I could tell that it sounds like you're really energized and rejuvenated, maybe on some level. Like, what's your mindset entering this next chapter of your career? Are you approaching it like, I'm a vet, I'm attacking a new chapter? Or maybe are you kind of working like a so-called rookie GM with something to prove?
That's a great question, and I'll say this, when I come in the door here, even though I'd done the job for 11 years, I mean, I felt like I was brand new. New people here, new processes, new city. A lot of players I just didn't know personally yet. I knew them as opponents, but not on a day-to-day basis. So I just felt really new. I felt very similar to the way I did when I first started with the Chargers, where you kind of have to get your feet on the ground. And then, a couple months go by, and you start getting more comfortable. But look, I'm here with this group of people to win, and that's the bottom line. We're here to win, and that's why we're all in this business. So I don't know about having to prove anything, because we all have to prove that we have to win, or else we're somewhere else. So that's the thing here. Like I said, the fan base here is incredible. They haven't gotten as far as they would like in recent years, so we got to keep pushing through that. There is a process to it, but for me, it's a fun new environment to be in, but the goal is always the same. We have to win.
We are talking to Tom Telesco. You mentioned the fan base a couple of times. I like to talk about Raider fan, and when I talk about Raider fan generically, I mean that kind of like what you're getting at. Look, every fan base is different. Every fan base is rabid, but Raider fan is something totally different. How would you describe that fan base? What makes them different?
I mean, they're all passionate, but I don't know. The Raider fan base just feels different as far as the passion for the team, the passion for the current players, and the passion for the history of this football team, all the players that have come before us. And it's just unmatched. And you feel that. You certainly feel that as an opponent, whether we're playing in Oakland or playing in Las Vegas, you feel that really as an opponent when you're playing against them. And then you just feel it across the country. And I've noticed that already. It's fun to be a part of. I grew up in Buffalo, New York. I grew up a Bills fan, and we know what that fan base is like. Really, really passionate, love the game of football. And then being here, I'm feeling the same thing. It's just on a bigger scale, just the way the Raiders are, and it's been great to be a part of.
Tom Telesco joining us. You mentioned the players, so I try to be as objective as possible, but I can't lie. I'm a huge Max Crosby guy. I mean, other than the quarterbacks, Tom, that he terrorizes on the regular, who's not a huge Max Crosby guy, how pumped were you to lock him up to that four-year extension? And then how critical is he not only in how he shows up on the field, but how he sets the tone for the entire team with that relentless attitude and work ethic?
Yeah, no, I'm lucky that I walk into this building and he's here. So thankful to Mike Mayock for drafting him and for the second regime for extending him. So, yeah, he sets the tone. And like I said, I've only been here for a couple months, and the players have only been on the field for really a couple weeks. But you can tell in the building he sets the tone for everything. And playing against him the last couple years, it didn't matter if you put one, two, or three people on him. He finds a way to get to the quarterback because he's just relentless with how he plays. Then he had his talent into that. That's why it shows how good he is. So, yeah, he's a special player. He's special at what he does. And now he's a great player, but he's the leader of that defense. He's really one of the main leaders of the football team because of how he carries himself every day in this building. He literally is the first one in and probably the last one out with the amount of work he puts into his craft. And, you know, it's just a great example for the rest of the guys in the building.
I was going to say, it sounds like it's always said, when your best player or one of your best players has that attitude, it's impossible for everybody else not to fall in line or it won't work. You know, when we're talking, I'm picking my spots here. I don't want to keep you too long, but there's so many other things like culture. Culture is so important. Everybody talks about it. Antonio Pierce was promoted from interim head coach to full-time head coach. And you know he's going to bring that same heat and that same energy every single day when he enters the facility. Like, you know, how long does it take to establish a new culture in an organization? And then how far did Pierce go in doing so in finishing the season the way he and they did?
You know, typically there's not a lot of carryover from season to season, and you can't rely on that. But you can rely on some of the culture that was built to carry over. And watching how this team played last year, the last nine games, the enthusiasm with what they played with and what Antonio really built here in that short period of time. And then when I arrived and saw the amount of players that were here in the offseason, you know, lifting, running, working on their craft, it was a lot of players, you know, more than you usually would see in, you know, the month of, say, February or even early March. And a lot of that culture was built at the end of last year, and it will continue to be built, starting with your head coach. I mean, he's the one that everyone takes their keys from. And when you build the team in the vision of the head coach. And that's what we're doing, and the players are starting to take that on. But in the end, it's the players kind of building that culture from the head coach. And like I've noticed it already. We got to keep kind of adding to that as we move through, but there's no doubt as far as a leader and motivator and communicator that Antonio has all those qualities.
And Tom, curious, there have been reports that the Raiders are going to hold their training camp this summer here in SoCal in Costa Mesa, which is only a few miles from where I'm broadcasting from right now. If so, I would love to see you and some of the guys here in studio, but is it a done deal? And if so, what do you like about that move?
Yeah, we're certainly working towards that, and it's ironic because when I was with the Chargers last year, I accepted on behalf of the Chargers, obviously, the key to the city of Costa Mesa. So little did I know that.
Do you still have it?
Literally, I don't have it. I think they left it there at the Chargers facility, but didn't know that literally I'd be using it this year. But look, we love Las Vegas. It's a great place to be. But obviously, you know, late July, early August, you take the heat and you combine that with just the intensity of training camp practices. You know, I could, you know, have some performance issues with the players. So our thought was if we can get out, even if it's just for a couple weeks, I mean, we'll be back in Las Vegas later in the preseason, but if we can get out for a couple weeks, get into a good environment, a little better weather to work with, keep the team together for some team bonding. That was kind of the number one reason that we looked into that. You know, the fact that there's a huge Raider fan base in Southern California is a bonus. But in the end, you know, football-wise, we thought it'd be best if we could just get out of the heat just for a couple weeks, help out the players with that, and then get back here and get back ready to work.
Seems like a no-brainer to me. So one final thought, and I appreciate the time so much. What about the quarterback situation? Like, Aiden O'Connell last year started 10 games, so he got a great opportunity. He got some reps. And then you bring in Gardner Minshew. He signed as a free agent in March. So do you consider either one of them as your QB1 going into camp, or is there an open competition to determine who that guy is?
Yeah, no, it really is an open competition. like you said, Aiden played really well last year under difficult circumstances, you know, through a head coaching change, through a coordinator change. Thought he played well. His quarterback intangibles are outstanding, and I've noticed that since I've been here. You know, obviously, we haven't done a lot on the field yet, but just watching him carry himself and how he prepares, it's been great to see. And then, you know, Gardner played well enough last year to be a Pro Bowl alternate, so he did, you know, had a good year with the Colts. And whenever he's had a chance to play, he's always produced, you know, when he's given that opportunity, you know, whether it was Jacksonville or the Colts or even the Eagles. So we're lucky to have those two guys here. As we saw last year, with the amount of quarterback injuries, you really need to have two solid starting quarterbacks to keep your team moving. We think we have two there. But as far as the starting job, they'll both kind of compete through the offseason, more training camp than the offseason program, but we'll kind of see where it goes from there.
Tell you what, it is always great to talk Raider football on this program. The general manager of the Raiders is joining us. Tom, great to have you on the show. Really appreciate that conversation. That was a whole lot of fun. Hope we can do it again soon. And thanks for making time for us. That was great.
Anytime. Thanks for having me on. Take care, Jim.
Good talking to you, Tom. Appreciate you. It's a good football man right there. Tom Telesco joining us. Raider fan. Man, it's good to talk Raider football. Let's talk O'Reilly Auto Parts. They're in the business of keeping your car on the road. O'Reilly Auto Parts offer friendly, helpful service and the parts knowledge you need for all your maintenance and repairs. They've got thousands of parts and accessories in stock, either in-store or online, so you never have to worry if you're in a jam. The team at O'Reilly Auto Parts can test your battery for free in or out of your car. If it needs to be replaced, they'll help you find just the right battery for your vehicle. Need your windshield wipers replaced? A brake light fix or a quick service, they'll help you find the right part or point you to the nearest local repair shop for help. Whether you're a car aficionado or an auto novice, you will find the employees at O'Reilly Auto Parts are extremely knowledgeable, helpful, and best of all, they are friendly. The professional parts people at O'Reilly Auto Parts are your one-stop shop for all things auto, do-it-yourself, and you can find what you need in-store or online. Stop by O'Reilly Auto Parts today or visit us at O'ReillyAuto.com/Rome. Once again, O'ReillyAuto.com/Rome. Let's start with some call-in beefs. Keep writing. Don't cry about that. Written beefs. I will get there, but we're starting with the phones. Tucson. Let's go to Jackson. Jackson in Tucson. Jackson, what is your beef?
Hey, Jim Rome. Happy Friday, Junior. Listen, I got a beef with Giselle and how she was quote-unquote deeply disappointed with the jokes being made at Tom Brady's roast. Last time I checked, if you cheat on someone in your marriage, you don't get to become the moral police. Wore Ben Shelton and Tommy Paul at the Rome Masters and wore the goats of all goats, that Rafa tennis reporter. I'm out.
Jackson in Tucson.
Jackson.
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 I don't know, Jackson. Do you really know what was going on behind closed doors? Anyway, it's cool. Like I said, beef about anything you want, except the JN and what's going on behind the closed door of your bathroom. 1-800-636-8686. Ryan in Sacktown. Ryan, what's your beef?
Hey, what's up, Jim? My beef is with my wife and my son. I've been dieting lately and avoiding the sugar bombs as part of that formula. But you know what isn't? Having to wipe down the sticky syrup bottles, the ice cream container, picking out your full sugar jelly from my almond butter. Do better. I'm more my son always having to show me the other end of his Q-tip. I'm out.
Ryan in Sacktown. That was different. Not good, but different. Ryan, boy. Wait, Ryan, you're married? Wait, Ryan, you've spawned a kid? Wait, Ryan, a woman had sex with you? Wait, Ryan, you're a dad? Ryan. Let's go to Vancouver. Love that town. Mike in Vancouver. Mike, what's your beef?
Yeah, my beef is club volleyball. I got two girls in it, and, you know, we go in for a weekend for a tournament, and 9 times out of 10, that tournament is 3 hours out of the way, and you're stuck there for 12 freaking hours. You don't get a sleep in. You got to get up at 5 a.m. You're stuck. And then you got girls on the team that don't even put effort, like their feet stuck in frickin' concrete. I want to hear their bodies slap on the ground or something. Go for it. Dive. Jeez. Do something. All right, I'm out.
I got it, Mike. I hear you. I don't know that life. I know the travel ball baseball life. I don't know the club volleyball life, but I don't know, dude. Did you not put them in it? They're not always going to be as committed as your kids, but yeah, that travel can be tough. I will tell you this, Mike. Believe it or not, you may miss it once it's gone. One of my favorite things about life, one of the highlights of my life, I kid you not, one of the highlights of my life was watching our boys play high school baseball, and they were not on some powerhouse program, but I loved it. Loved it. And travel ball can get a little dicey. I agree with you. 1-800-636-8686. We're running them down. Let's go to the D, Detroit. Don in Detroit. Don, what is your beef?
Hey, Jim. My beef is with the absolute tools who park backwards into parking spaces. They don't know how to park backwards in their own cars, leaving the rest of us normal parking people sitting there waiting on them. That's all I got, Jim. I'm out.
That's a pretty common beef. Yeah, I kind of see it a different way. Normally, if you've got the NAD or the sack or the deep bagginess to park backwards, you normally have enough game to do it. Generally, you don't attempt that unless you've got some game. So I don't really feel like those are the people I'm waiting on. I've got a lot more issues with a lot more people and a lot more tactics in parking lots than those who back in. However, that said, that's a very common beef on this show. Let's go to New Mexico. Mike, you're next up. Good to have you. Mike, what's your beef?
Hey, Jim, thanks for having such a badass radio show, man. My beef is with a nationally syndicated radio host that is such a coward that he won't even let people call in and tell him how lame his takes are. That's all I got, man. I'm out.
All right, Mike. Appreciate it. Thank you very much. 1-800-636-8686. Let's go to Salt Lake City. Again, the thing I love about the beef segment, all 50. Everybody's got beefs. Every state and then into Canada. I love it. So, I mean, look at the call screen. And we're going to Salt Lake City, then New Mexico, then Detroit, then Solana Beach, then Phoenix, then Corona. Ah! Wow, this Howard Dean game is hard, dog. Salt Lake City, Damien. Damien, what's your beef?
Hey, Jimmy, long-time listener, man. My beef is with myself. Taking life for granted, brother. 49 years old, two strokes, brain surgery. Don't do it, clones. Don't do it. I love your show, man, and you're the only thing that's getting me through, brother. Thank you.
Yo, brother, I love you too, Damien. That was heavy, but that was important. Wow. You know what, dude? I appreciate that thought. It's so true. It's so true. I don't want to get all heavy on you all while we're having fun and it's entertaining and we're still going to have fun and still going to be entertaining, but he's right, man. That clock is spinning so fast and it's spinning faster and faster and faster and you can't stop it. A reinvention project take has broken out. You see your feet? You see where they are? Be where they are and be present every single minute or you will look up and a year will be gone and 5 years will be gone and you will not get it back and you'll wonder what the hell happened. I got you, my man. Hang in there. Appreciate you. Let's go to Corona. Jim, good to have you. Jim, what's your beef?
Romy, good to talk to you, Hall of Famer. Hey, man, I got a beef with microwave technology. Why the hell am I microwaving burritos? I got lava on the outside. I still got a permafrost core on the inside. Out.
Nice job, dude. You know what? I'll save it. I got an issue with the microwave I have right now, man. It's really pissing me off. It's the microwave that I have right now is so weird. 50% of the time, it just doesn't work. Like, I'll pop something in for 3 minutes, and I'll wait. And that's not a short period of time. And it will come out, like, literally colder than it went in. I'm like, the hell is that? I roll the dice every time. I never know if it's going to work or not. Sometimes I bite into something frozen, and sometimes I lose half the roof of my mouth that it's so hot. Like, hey, microwave, do better. And yes, we had it fixed. Apparently not. Good job, Jim. Good take. Let's go to Phoenix. Andy, just blasting right through it, having a good time. Andy, what is your beef?
My beef, Jim, hey, my beef is big city traffic.
Dude, what was that? My beef is with big city traffic, butt scratch, or what? Dude, I know that you're having trouble with big city traffic because you're having trouble picking up the phone and getting through a sentence. Anyway, keep them coming, clones. Just banging out the telephone calls. 1-800-636-8686. Solana Beach is our next stop. Cali, Josh, good to have you. Josh, what's your beef?
Jim, my beef is with these donkeys that are crazy conspiracy theorists making the world dumber. I get that there's conspiracies, but they're like stupidity talking about reptile people in a flat earth. So we're the scientific method. We're not taking life for granted.
You know, Josh, dude, I hate it because you were one of the better ones of the day. That was one of the better calls of the day, but one of the worst phone quality calls of the day. Dude, you were great. I got a beef with these donkeys and their conspiracy theories that are making the world dumber. Like, I think that you were going to make my own argument that I'm going to make later on, but I think you were going to make it better than I'm going to make it later on, and that's a rarity on this show. Except your phone quality sucked. That's too bad. That was a good call. I think that would have been a great call. Donkeys, you're making the world dumber. 1-800-636-8686. All right, I like it already. I love beefs that are reactions to earlier beefs, and we have one right here. Let's go to Virginia. Rich. Rich, exactly what is your beef?
Hey, Jim, thank you. My beef is with the guy who called complaining about people who back in. My dad was a truck driver. I'm a truck driver. You back in because you're always facing out. I've taught my wife and kids to back in. So learn how to drive, dill hole. Both my daughters can outdrive you. I'm out.
I get it. He's right, dill hole. There's something to be said, right? It is so sweet. We started it on this show way, way back in the day when I lightened things up on Friday, and I deemed Friday casual dress Friday. So I used to say on the program all the time before we moved, denim up, back it in. Denim up, back it in. And for some weird reason, it made a difference. When you back in, and you, I mean, I know it sounds crazy, but when you back in and you pull straight out, it's a win. There's something cool about it. It's different. It's easy. Your vision is better. I don't know what it is. I just know that it works. So I've got no issue with back it in person as long as they can back it straight in and don't need four tries at it. So I'm with that guy. Let's go to Sacktown. Bill, good to have you. Bill, what is your beef?
Hey, Jim, I got a beef about people who constantly use double negatives. When they do that, they are letting you know that they did not pay attention in their third grade English class. For example, because of my injury, I don't have no rebounding ability. Just sounds dumb. Come on, people. Correct it by replacing the word no with any.
You know, my thing is, I think you have an issue with bad grammar, not double negatives. There are double negatives that are grammatically sound. Now, they make you stop once in a while to kind of think your way through it, unless you're Brian Weber. And then it's not an issue. You can decipher that quickly. Hey, B-Web, was that you? No. I don't have a problem with double negatives. It's kind of a SAT trick, right? Double negatives. I have more of an issue with bad grammar. I mean, dude, do you listen to Big Head Betts? Anyway, let's keep moving. 1-800-636-8686. This is fun. I'm having a good time with it. Let's go to Tracy, California. Steve, good to have you. What is your beef?
Hey, my beef is with adults that get braces. Your teeth been jacked up your whole life. Just finish it out. Go on.
That's great. He didn't say out. He said gone. My beef is with adults that get braces. Did you just say your teeth have been jacked up your entire life? Just finish it off? I don't know, dude. If you can fix it, or maybe you couldn't afford it when you were younger, or maybe you can now, or why wouldn't you want to improve your look? Or maybe you have insurance now that you didn't have then, or maybe your teeth changed, or maybe you were an athlete and you took a bunch of steroids and your teeth all separated and fell out of your head and you want to fix them now, or I don't know. I don't have a problem with it. But that was funny. That was funny. Let's keep moving. Let's go to Texas, Buck. Great to have you, Buck. What's your beef?
Yeah, thank you, Mr. Rome. First time, long times. Yeah, my beef with humans that can't keep the car on the road, and then they try to blame us deer. Just because you're all liquored up or late for your tea time, don't be rattling me up and blaming me.
How come, Alvy? Lame. I said, how come, Alvy? Alvy just goes, quote, lame. Lame. But, dude, you were not into the talking buck in Texas? Like, a talking dog is bad enough, but at least he sounds like a dog. That guy didn't sound anything like a buck or an elk. And just not funny. Or to quote Alvy, lame. Alvy's having a day. I said, Alvy, why did you bring the hammer down on him? Quote, lame. Not a hashtag, not he's lame, it sucked, just lame. He's not wrong. Alvy's point is, I want to get more in. All right, all right, all right. What, you want to run more fools, or you want to get more in? ATX. Vince, a legend of the beef segment. Vince, what's your beef this week?
Hey, Romy, que pasa? My beef is with those wannabe supermodels that wear the same sequin top as their pooch at the Greenbelt. Oh, my gosh. The look on that dog's face is he can't wait to find a bus to run up in front of. And the Lake Show, Jarrah thinks you choke during the playoffs. War Rexley for the Shohei Ohtani movie, out, hook 'em.
War Rexley for the Shohei Ohtani movie. Hook him, I'm out.
No, no, no.
For who's he going to play? Shohei or Ipe? I think you mean for the Ipe movie, not the Shohei movie. Shohei didn't do anything wrong for the last time. I'll get there later on. You mean for the Ipe movie?
No, no,
Ipe
no.
Ipe movie with Rexley. Yeah, 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 Rex. Hey, Rex, you need the work, right? What, are you going to say no to that? I don't think I've seen you, Rex, since Entourage.
Yeah. No, no, no.
This would be your biggest role since Entourage, my man. What do you mean, no, no, no?
Yeah.
You'd be like, when do we start a start?
Yeah.
Yes. Yes. Yes.
No, no, no.
Yes. Is that a contract?
Yeah.
Is that a contract? Where's my pen?
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah. Anyway, let's go to NC. Jimmy. In NC, Jimmy, what's your beef?
Yo, Ron, what's up? My beef is with Matter Day High School. The great Coach Rollinson retired, so you hire some dude with a backwards hat that don't want to do booster stuff. You can him after a year. You hire some guy from, crying out loud, Long Beach Polytech. Gee whiz, I'm in North Carolina and know all the way to California. That's blasphemous. They're going to keep losing to Jay Bosco and Jay Sierra and all those guys. I'm out.
Wow, dude. Dem's fighting words. Dodger Jano is not going to like that. Dodger Jano, the sweetest, nicest person ever, is not going to like that. The only time Dodger Jano is not the nicest, sweetest person ever is when anybody comes at the OBC or her children or her high school, Polly. She is a proud, proud, proud Polly grad. She went to Polly. Her parents went to Polly. Her brothers went to Pauly.
Brother.
Their kids went to Pauly. She went to Pauly with Tony Gwynn. Oh, she's not going to like that, dude. But then again, you know you're a big-time football program when they're calling from across the country. I don't know, dude, if you moved, if you're a modern-day alumnus. Pauly is a power, yo. Last check, I think Pauly still had more guys in the NFL than any other high school, I think. I like that, though. DJ won't like that. Let's go back to the phones. Why don't we go to Tucson? Bill, good to have you. Bill, what's your beef?
Yeah, my beef is I went to the Rolling Stone concert with my kids, and every bar we went into, I had to show my ID. I know you're not supposed to say your age, but I'm 80 years old.
My God. That's funny, Bill. First of all, that can't be true, right? There's no way anybody carded you. I'm going to call bullcrap on that. But then again, if it's true, I could see where you'd be pissed. At some point in your life, if you get carded and you're way older than 21, it's a compliment. You like it. But if you're 80, man, you're over it. Like, well, what is this? Really? But still, a rule is a rule, Bill. You even knew the rule. You said it. I know you're not supposed to say your age, but I'm 80. Bam, you're done. That's one of the only rules on the program. I do not care how old you are. Do not state your age. It bogs us down. It's immaterial. It's irrelevant. I don't give a damn. But I know why you're like, hey, man, it actually is relevant. I don't want to be carded when I'm 80. I'm with you, bro. But a rule is a rule. Let's go to Salt Lake City again. Troy in Salt Lake. Good to have you, Troy. What's your beef?
Romy, I know it was heavy, but my beef is with Alvy. He did not run that guy that stated his age. He said he was 49. Alvy didn't.
He didn't? You're confused, dude. You first of all, he ran you. Let's not be confused about that. There is no confusion there. He just ran you. That really happened. Are you talking about you have a beef with Alvy for not running that one guy who was, quote, heavy with it? But you just said that he didn't run the guy who said his age. Oh, that guy. You're right. You're right. You're right. You're right. He got away with one. You know what, Troy? You're right. You're right. I stand corrected. That, you know what? That actually got by me. I was so hung up in he said he had brain surgery and all these other ailments. And I was so caught up in the message that I forgot that he said he was 49. I don't know, dude. Should you, Alvy, why'd you run Troy? He's right. Don't correct the Alvy? Is that a rule now? Don't correct the Alvy? Don't correct the host? Don't correct the Alvy? Okay, there's the reverse run. Troy, in Salt Lake, you heard yourself getting run, but we admitted that we made a mistake. This is the reverse run. This is Alvy taking it back. I love that. I love the reverse LT. You were right, Troy. See, we, unlike a lot of people that I talk about on this show, we are accountable. We do own our mistakes. We admit when we're wrong. We apologize, and we admit, or we mean it when we say we're sorry. All right, Tommy, there's a point in time where we have to make a decision. Do we placate the written beefers? Let's read a few. Let's see here. Hi, Jim. My beef is with fat people. Do I stop there? Or do I finish? My beef is with fat people on e-bikes going 15 miles per hour while barely pedaling, trying to fool us and themselves into thinking they're actually exercising. Do better, Tubby. Todd no longer in Hermosa. Dear Van Smack, my beef is with myself for not knowing that I could have been making $1,500 a month from age 18 to 38 by taking a weekly trip to Cryobank and going Alvy on a test tube. Jim, I just found out about this, and I'm 39. Come on.
Come on.
lady in Rochester. Plus, dude, you know what the bad news is? It's not like you can start earning because they probably don't swim anymore anyway. Hey, Rome, my beef is with everybody in basketball needing to be helped up after falling down and needing to be dapped up for attempting a free throw. Men or women playing hoops, please pick yourself up and congratulate yourself on any free throw attempts. Thank you for your time. Tim, delivering in Door County. Rome, I got a beef with my lady not making weight before we wrestle. What does she think all those hefty bags are for? Signed, Edward and Weak Take Lake. Wow, dude. I don't know. I don't live there. Maybe she thinks they're for trash. I didn't know she was supposed to cut holes in them and run around the block. Wow. Jim, my beef is with super happy people. I'm not talking folks that are genuinely bent towards positivity. I'm talking about the folks that are awkwardly wedging and shoving positivity into the worst situation ever. Hey, happy duty. Their dog just died. Can you pump the brakes on your motivational nuggets for a day or 10? Wesley, near Boise. Rome, I got a beef with my wife. She's one hell of a woman, but she insists on dropping fivers into every tip jar we see. Our local Starbucks baristas easily make an extra $300 a month because my wife can't say no. Donovan in Wisco. Donovan, why do you think they put those glasses out? Jimmers, I got beef with people who moan when they wipe their ass. Abby, in.
War Lady Clone.
And then she tags it with, I don't like that beef. Not very good beef. Alvin, run her. That's bathroom beef, man. She's wiping her ass. Tequila Jim. I have a beef. Hey, 7 foot Yao Ming guy. Do you really have to stand the whole concert in the seated section? I get it. We all love the songs, but I want to see too. Next time, stand in the pit with no seats. Zeke in Green Bay. Van Smack, my beef is with ticket brokers and their back-end hose jobs with so-called, quote, convenience fee. $45 a ticket sounds great. I'll take two. Your total with fees is now $200. Would you like to confirm? Hell no. I'll find a scalper. At least they don't fill you with the false hope and hose you up front. Good point. Mark in Central Texas. Rome, my beef is with these losers who put rubber ducks on the dash of their cars. Hey, Delta Bravos, no one cares what type of car you drive. You look like morons. Rome, my beef is with my wife. Went to use some lotion for my face and ended up smelling like a darn lilac with fairy dust. Lady, there's two sinks here. Keep your stuff on your two-thirds of the bathroom. I don't like doing this. I don't like wife beefs. I'll beef with Jano. Jano, I got a beef. Stop leaving your product in the passenger side compartment. I'll come in, there'll be lotion in there and whatever she brings in when she's lotioning up. And I'll say, don't do that, my car. Like, my car is my car. That's my only space. Don't do that. I don't leave stuff in the car. She's like, yeah, you don't want my hands being all old and dried out. And I'm like, yeah, I do. I'd rather you be dried out and wrinkly than have all your grease in my car. Yeah, I said it. I don't know. I got a weird thing about the car. It's not that the car is so nice. It's just that it's my space and I don't clutter it. Jim, I got a beef with Mr. Anti-Back It In. Hey, do you hate denim too? Well played. Larry in Albany. My beef is how people... Is this an amazing segment? I mean, we could do this for 3 hours every single day. My beef is how people who run even a tiny small business lately insist on referring to themselves as the CEO. Are you kidding me? Chief, over who? The Labradoodle hanging out under the desk in your spare bedroom, quote, office? Do you have a board of directors or an owner that you're accountable to that elected or hired you? No. Please stop trying to sound more influential than you are. Krista in Boise. War Lady Clones.
War Lady Clones.
I just kind of like the attitude. Let's go to the Bay Area. Mike, appreciate you hanging in there. Mike, what's going on? How are you?
I'm good, Rome. Thanks for taking my call. So I wanted to lay to rest this conspiracy theory about Ipe and how he got a check scratched off, and that's why he's taking the fall for him. As a guy, and I'm going to put my business out for a second here. As a guy who was wrongfully accused of a crime and went to jail, not prison, jail for 9 months to finally hear the verdict and say I was innocent, but I lost 9 months of my life behind bars for something I didn't do. I cannot imagine being accused of something that could end up in 40 years. There's no amount of money you can cut me that would be worth my time behind bars. All my freedom, my time with my kids, my family, nothing. So all these people that think, oh, he's the fall guy, they're out their mind. This dude did what he did. He got caught. End of the line for him. I mean, he's pleading guilty. I don't care what anybody says. There's no amount of money you can pay me to give up my freedom.
My man, wrong thing. I appreciate you, dude.
Good night now.